Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
I don't know if y'all can see it. There, that's
there
Pat.
He is. There he
Pat.
Is.
You have doffed. That's Pat.
There After surgery.
All right. We're so proud that you're actually, you know, talking about it now.
Yeah.
It's part of therapy. The group is working.
It's working.
Also, joining us is John Ramos.
Hello.
A graduate from BRSM.
BRSM.
From UWF.
Hey.
And VFNU.
That's right.
And, okay.
Yeah. And Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah. And then Amazing. This is our educated one.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to have him pronounce some names that we cannot pronounce these names. We'll check and see how well these degrees are working for him, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of, you
they
know,
may want him back. Let's not.
Yeah, right, right. Isn't that amazing? Still, is it student loans? Let me tell you something. If you're going to take a student loan out, make sure there's a job out there for you.
For real.
Those are evil.
I was just listening. Well, I was just listening to Congressman Rand speak at.
Rand
I was
Paul?
Listening to the feedback of us laughing. Rand Paul speaking at Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling the students at Berkeley, which is they got a standing ovation at Berkeley.
And
wow. We got really? A click on that. I was like, oh.
Put the teeth back in.
Right, right. Yeah, the effort ain't working. Yeah, sticking stuff. Anyway. So, anyway.
Ball different bat.
Yeah, that's how there's those. Anyway, so where are we? We're at Berkeley. Okay. And Berkeley, California. And he got a standing ovation because he talked about privacy and the Fourth Amendment. And by the way, just so you understand this, if you go back and listen or watch Prophecy on VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, go to the VFN Torch and you can search for Fourth Amendment. And that was already released prophetically when we're talking about original intent. He said, we're going to have to redefine what the Fourth Amendment was. That's what the Lord spoke through us on that particular program. And that's exactly what they're saying today in 2014 in March at Berkeley, that they're saying that all of our digital data is not protected by the Fourth Amendment.
Wow.
Like, who came up with that idea?
Yeah,
isn't
right.
our information? And so that was actually talked about prophetically in the context. But getting back to student loans, is what he was saying was, you know, that he said, what you really need to focus on is not your education as much in regard. Think about your student loan in the context of how much money you're borrowing. If there's a job that you connect to after the school that will pay you enough money to pay that off. He says, there's not, your people are taking student loans out of there this big and your job only provides you this much. And so, you know, loans when you're young, I really believe, Lord help us get wisdom, the education, man, we need it back.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest enterprises, I think in America, besides the medical is education. Why are they charging so much money for education, which is against a majority, is against, you know, when you send the statistics are, if you send your Christian child to a university, the probability of them leaving their faith is like 50% or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And they're turning them away from the nation. They're turning them away from God. Not all of them, but even Christian universities.
Mm-hmm.
What happens at these universities? And so not only that, they're asking your kid to borrow $100,000 for a job they don't even know exists yet, with an economy that's dropping so low that our pay scales now are like in the 80s, maybe they said, that a loan is not free money. Hmm. A loan is bondage. So to take out, I mean, if somebody says, listen, I'm going to sell you a house, if somebody's going to sell you a house and it's cost you $100,000, go ahead and borrow the money and we'll show you the house in the future, right?
Right.
What are you going to say? You're going to say, I want to see the house first, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, people are promising you a house that you don't even know exists yet. And they're going to tell you, we thought we'd have your house, but it just didn't work out. But they're going to sell you an education for $100,000, $50,000, some of them are even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to walk out with a mortgage, basically, for a house that you're not going to get. And you're going to be convinced, you're going to be saying, I demand a job. And then you're going to really find out they lied to you. That's just a lie. And the thing is, you were young. You're, very influential. You can be influenced very easily. And it felt like free money. It felt like you were going to be able to move into a house, a job. And now you're actually taking another class, borrowing more money, kind of waiting for that house to be built. And the truth is, you're going to have to build that on Jesus Christ. Hmm. You're going to have to build on your faith in God, because where we're going in the economies of the world, where we're going, it's not an education. And it's definitely not, you know, sad to say, in the universities of America. They need to be reclaimed. That's a mountain. The education needs to be reclaimed, because it's just sad what's going on in our universities. I mean, Jews and Christians are being, you know, and Christians now are lower on the rating than even Jews, the context of how they're coming against. And Islam and Muslim, they're actually higher up than Christians and Jews and how they statistically see them on the college campuses. And then America and the Constitution and everything that we stand for and our founding fathers is being torn down. It's like, why borrow money for that? And this, just to tell you what you're really doing. You're paying the salaries of the people who are doing that. You're borrowing money, and for the next 20 years, you're going to pay for what they're doing to our country right now. Think about that, right?
Yeah.
Because that money's going to go to that person who's got tenure, who's speaking that stuff against our nation.
That's right.
And it doesn't just go in some whatever. It's going to go into their life. You're going to get paid. So you're paying them. You're taking out money to pay that professor to say what he's saying to you. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there is a movie coming out right now. This is titled God Is
Not Dead.
Not Dead. And I want you to be able to see this. It's such a powerful thing, because it just deals with what's happening on our college campuses. And it's so important to understand this, it's under assault, you know. Then, and you think about Hitler. What he did was begin to re-educate the young folks and teach them things that he wanted taught, and then they were part of his. And that's what's going on. We're actually teaching our young folks something contrary to what the original intent of the nation was, the intent that God would have, and even I think maybe 50% leave their faith even in a Christian university.
It's very high.
It's very high. We have those stats. We'll have them available. We may be opposed, but take a look at this movie. I hear great reports about this particular movie, and it deals with this particular issue. Why in the world would you borrow money? Think about this professor that you're going to hear on this trailer for this movie that's available. You need to go see it now, matter of fact, in your area. But think about this. Imagine paying this guy's salary for the next 20 years, because if you borrow money, you're going to pay every single month for the next 20 years until you pay that off, unless you have some lump sum of money. That's Senator Rand Paul, he says, Rand Paul, he said that their job's not available to pay that kind of money back. And so
I've worked on these college campuses. Let me tell you, I mean, everything has shifted.
Yeah.
And the best thing for you to do right now is, like you said, build on God and get some experience, some practical work experience.
Right.
Because a lot of people think that you're going to go to a college degree and everything's going to be paved in gold for
right.
you. You're still going to learn how to work.
And the church has bought in. The church has bought into this American dream versus the biblical reality.
Exactly.
And it's not wrong for you to work hard.
Mm-mm.
You know, everybody's not going to be a CEO. Only 3% of America hires the other 97%.
That's right.
I mean, begin to enjoy your labor, enjoy your trade. And Proverbs says there's nobody that sleeps better than somebody who works hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, you'll probably have a more enjoyable life than the man who's trying to sustain his wealth and those type of things that are going on. Either way, you want God in your life. But listen, imagine paying this professor that's going to talk to this student who says, and you got to hear that, he goes, you know, in this classroom, I'm God. Now imagine for 20 years now, you're going to pay payments every single month, 12 times a month, for this guy to do that. Man, it makes me like, cancel my student loan. I don't want any borrow any more money. And remember, God uses simple fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to educate your way into success. Education's good, but if you actually humble yourself before God and seek His ways first, then He'll give you wisdom, and maybe education will come in that, but that's greater than anything a man could ever teach you. Listen to this. God is not dead.
All this stuff is temporary. Money, success. Even life is temporary. Jesus, that's eternal.
And that's it?
That's it. That's what we're going with.
I am Professor Radisson. This is Philosophy 150. This semester, I propose that we refuse to waste our limited time together debating the existence of the big man in the sky. Fill in the papers I've just given you with three little words. God is dead.
I can't do what you want. I'm a Christian.
We've gotten your results back. You have cancer.
The answer's simple. Drop the class.
Like it's something that God wants me to do. I can't just turn away from it.
You really should go see Mom.
What's in it for me?
If you cannot bring yourself to admit that God is dead, then you will need to defend the antithesis. God's not dead,
he's surely alive. You're here because that voice inside you isn't happy with the choices everyone else wants you to make.
It's not easy, but it's simple.
Mr. Wheaton, are you ready?
We're going to put God on trial.
What do you say to people who don't believe?
We disown him, he'll disown us.
You think you're smarter than me, Wheaton? Do you think there's any argument you can make that I won't have an answer for? In that classroom, there is a God, and yep, I'm him.
It doesn't seem quite fair to me.
I can't help it if the boy wants to make a fool of himself.
Look, I know I am in the minority here, but I actually believe in God.
I think you were here kind of hoping that this stuff is for me.
I'm praying for you.
To me, he's not dead. He's alive.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
Why do you hate God?
Science supports his existence. You know the truth. So why do you hate him? Why do you hate God?
Amazing. Imagine now paying that professor's salary. I mean, you're going to pay him for that year that he taught you, but since you took out a student loan, it'll take you 20 years possibly to fully pay for that year he taught you to tell you that he's God in that classroom. Mm-hmm. And how many, you know, very few professors probably will come right out and say that they're God. And we're not talking about all professors. They're not going to come right out and say it. But the truth is, if they deny God and say what they say are greater than God and their way is the way outside God's way, guess what? And you're in the context of that, and they're putting themselves up as God in the context of that. They're not, but they're lifting themselves up in the context of that. And now think about that. A house you're not going to get, it costs you $100,000. They didn't let you live in it, and then they ticked you off for 4 years speaking against your God. And you're going to pay payments for 12 months out of the year for 20 years on that. If anything, get a Pell Grant. You don't have to pay that back. But seek God. Seek God. We're going to come back in a moment from this break talking about redigging the wells. We're going to get back in this conversation again. It is so encouraging because we want the double portion. We want the triple portion. We want the tsunami of what God is going to do. He says his glory is going to fill the earth. Imagine that. Mm. We're excited about it. Get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It seems that conflict is a part of every relationship in life, but some couples maintain that they never fight. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Ken Davis has a thought about folks who seem to have it all together all the time.
He came up to me and he said, "My wife and I have never had an argument." Then he said, "We've never even had a bad thought toward one another." And I could not hold back any longer. I said, "You are married to a carrot."
Some pretty funny insights there about something that most of us have to deal with in our marriages. Now, we want to help you and your spouse keep things in perspective and laugh a little bit about some of those conflicts so your relationship can thrive. You'll find more trusted help when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win,
we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, in the largest part of the church. Believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about redigging the wells of our fathers and how Isaac did that in regards to Abraham in Genesis, when I think it was Genesis 26, 18 through 22. You got to catch all the programs, four programs back to back. But Isaac, he went out and reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father, Abraham, which the Philistines stopped up. So when you read about Philistines, think about the works of the flesh. You know, think about the enemies of God and doing things. And there, you know, Jesus said himself, there'll be days that people kill you and think they're doing me a favor, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So in a religious kind of format in the context of that. But Isaac's servant went out to the same valley, went to the same wells, and began to redig those wells. And what was interesting was, you know, prior to that, there was no conflicts going on. No conflicts going on at all. But as soon as they dug, he dug the first well, when he was digging the first well, the herdsmen began to argue over it. And it's like, you know, listen, if God is pouring out his river somewhere on the earth, celebrate it.
Hello.
Just be thankful, be grateful, and you know, do whatever you need to do to honor God in the context of that. Survival, by the way, would be rightly related, you know, in the context of mm-hmm. that. But in the second, it was interesting, they began to argue over the stream and the river. But I remember mm-hmm. the word that was given by Jeremiah Johnson out of Lakeland. And he talked about there'll be rivalry before there's revival. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's what's happening right here, because this first well that Isaac redug of his father, the name of the well is Essek.
Essek.
Essek, which means dispute. So he literally named the first move of God dispute.
Wow.
The first outpouring, the movement was dispute. And it's like, you know, I don't want to be a part of that one. I want mm-hmm. to be a part of one we're going to talk about a little bit more. And he said they began to quarrel over it, and they said, this water is ours, and this water is ours. And that also reminds me of another word that we'll make available to you on this post on the torch about Jeremiah Johnson gave, that Joe Miller that leads the 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting, a businessman in Pensacola, who's got a lot of positive things to say about the city. If you want to hear about what God's doing in the city, he's definitely a man to talk to. But he turned me on to what Jeremiah Johnson was saying, and he talked about that there's this wall, you know, being built up, and you got to see it. We'll make that word available to you. But basically, this wall's got to come down, which is humility, mm-hmm. which we just heard even in the break. And they're saying, you know, China's praying that we would be humbled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And their prayer is probably going to be answered. Well, is going to be answered. Mm-hmm. But God has a move he wants to pour out in America, but also in the panhandle of Florida is what he's specifically talking about. You got to see this whole word. It really encouraged me when Joe shared it with me. And it's encouraging those that I'm sharing it with. So we'll make sure that you actually get it. Maybe we'll even read it to you in the programs. But the first particular move of God, or the outpouring and redigging of the well, of digging the Father's well, now, not some strange water, no strange fire type thing, was there was quarreling over it. And so he actually named that well, the definition of that word, Essek, means dispute. Mm-hmm. Don't give up because, you know, dispute's happening. You know, just hang in there and realize, just don't be a part of it. Don't be right. a part of disputing type thing. Mm-mm. And then he goes and he begins to dig another well. And he named, and they begin to quarrel over this one also. So here's, he's just redigging the wells of his father, and people are actually arguing over it. And it's like, first of all, you'd think, this is my father's well. I mean, why would you even want to drink from this? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not your father's well. It's, you know, he's able to say, you know, Isaac's able to say, this is Jacob's well. You know, see, we got this, that's my, you know,
right.
God of Abraham and Isaac, you know. And so it said, but, and so he named this well because they were quarreling over the second well. So he's doing the right thing. We're digging the wells of the father. And understand, even when you're doing that, people are going to give you a real hard time. And the word was by Jeremiah Johnson, there'll be rivalry before there's revival and humility before there's an outpouring. And this particular well is called, what's the name of this one?
Rehoboth.
Rehoboth. And it's Sitnah. This particular second well is Sitnah. And this well means opposition. So think about it. The first thing I did for God, the first move of God was called what? Dispute.
Mm-hmm.
How many people give up? It's like, you know, I did that and, you know, people just went crazy and they started attacking me and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't have the fortitude. You didn't have the relationships. You didn't, especially I can imagine he was digging his father's well. He wasn't digging his own.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine you're not going to survive any disputes if you're on your own, right?
Come on.
And so, but just, and I pray you do, but I'm just talking about the context of that. So dispute came with proper order. There's still a dispute. People claimed it as their own. So they begin to fight over it. And the second well he dug was named opposition.
Hmm.
It's like, you know, welcome to the first opposition of the, you know, he says, like, we just want to appreciate the disputed move of God and then the opposition that came against the next time, you know, God was moving. And he's redigging the wells of the Father. But I want to talk to you about this third well. And it's so exciting. He didn't give up, and you can't give up. You got to hold in there and just stay humble, which means totally dependent on God and respect folks. And just, you know, just do like Mary, ponder things in your heart, hope for the best, realize we're all family, and pray for people and pray for the church. I'm seeing great things happen in the church, you know, at large. It's exciting.
Yes.
She's alive. So he redigs. He digs another well, and they begin to quarrel over it. And he said, he named this one
Rehoboth.
Rehoboth, which means room, meaning, and this is what he says in Genesis 26:18-22. He says, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Now the Lord has given us room. It's like, what? It's the same valley. It's the same place. It's the same wells of his father, but something happens because you hold in there and you don't turn your back on what God has already done, and you connect to, and you rightly relate, and you honor those who have gone before you, and honoring whatever you do to the least of these are mine, Jesus said, you do it to me. So to dishonor a father in the Lord is to dishonor God. It's not an individual, you know, and it's not about your feelings, right? Mm. It's not about your feelings. Nope. Pat taught us that, right?
Oh, yes, he did.
We are over getting our feelings hurt. We're always joking. Sometimes. Anyway, but think about it. So he didn't give up, and all of a sudden he's digging, he's doing the work of the ministry. He's redigging the wells, mm-hmm. that flow that comes, the river that flows from the throne of God that brings the healing. And all of a sudden, despite the dispute, despite the opposition, this well was about making room in the very same land to flourish in what's going on. And it was so cool because I know that when God was speaking to us and in regards to the disputes, in regards to the opposition, and in regards to like, really, you know, and when he basically said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. You know, this thing is going to be Rehoboth for you. It's going to be a place. There's going to be room for you. And then you're going to flourish because this is where I'm going to establish you, you know, in the Gulf Coast. And it was amazing. What it was, just the same place, same fathers, same everything, but just staying steadfast and listening to what God says. And all of a sudden this whole different aspect of flow of the well and the freshness and the anointing, if you would, and what God is doing. I want to encourage you, you know, that, you know, honor the fathers that have gone before you. I mean, understand that if that was God, then to dishonor them is to dishonor what God did. Mm-hmm. And listen, since, I mean, if you don't know this or not, you're flawed. You know, I'm flawed. We're all flawed. And so you can focus on people's flaws, or you can focus on their clay, or you can focus on God's puts his all-surpassing power in jars of clay to show that it's him that's doing this mighty move of God, not the individual, but God is using them because of whatever reason he chose to do that. And honoring them is honoring what God has done. Mm-hmm. You think about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to, I mean, think how beautiful that would be that we would honor what God has done, you know? And, you know, and God himself said, you know, if I'm your father, you know, where is my honor? That's what he says in Malachi. And that's just a driving force in the context of what, you know, God has been saying. You think about this, that the body, even our own bodies, our own body, how we're made, how God designed us, they say that we're 70% water. Mm. 70% water. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. 70% water. And at birth, water accounts for about 80% of the infant's body weight. 80%.
Wow.
Which means you take away the water, then all you have is 20% of mass left that's there.
Wow.
And God says, you know, when you're talking about the water, you're talking about the water of his spirit. He says, from your belly will flow. Just ask me if you're really thirsty at this well, ma'am, at Jacob's well. If you're really thirsty, if you want to go back to the Father's well, and is at the Father's well where she was beginning to drink, he says, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. Mm-hmm. And I believe this tsunami of the glory of the water and the wave of God is going to go across this land, and we're believing for a great awakening. That's we're going right. to believe that, hey, you're going to say yes to God. Make sure you join us in the next program. We're going to continue this conversation about redigging the wells.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on, sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other
segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, what's happening today, man?
Man, I'm excited to be here. God is doing so many awesome, amazing things.
I'm so glad you're getting rest now. I'm in earlier programs in the week.
I mean, yes, I'm refreshed. Can you see?
I can tell. I can totally. You got your even big blue pen
my
in your
big,
pocket.
My big blue
That's
pen.
That's a serious pen,
hey,
huh?
Man, I do some serious writing.
Okay. Well, if you've missed us, we've been talking about redigging the wells, and we talked about redigging the wells of our fathers. Mm-hmm. And was it not encouraging and exciting to be able to hear, as we're just exploring, what does that mean? And you think about it, it's honoring what God has done, connecting to what He has done, so that there's a double portion of that. And you're hearing all the context of that. But also, it's what Isaac did. Isaac went to redig the wells of his father. But this is the big thing. I mean, it's just such a shocker when you first begin to do something for God that the first thing that happens is dispute. I mean, if you don't have relationship, it's hard to get through that because you're trying to figure out why in the world would people who profess to be followers of God, who say they love Jesus, and they may even be ministers, why would they be disputing with you? And you may be just downcast and sad. It's like, it happened to Isaac. The first well he dug was called dispute. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, great. Okay, I got that figured out. Now, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to just do what it takes and dig into God's word and pray like, Charles Seymour did with the Azusa Street Revival and cry out to God. And this one comes, and it's named Opposition. Mm. And you can hear more about this. Literally, the second well he dug, he named it Opposition. Dispute and opposition. Some people give up. It's like, that's it. I've had dispute. Some people get offended and they think, I really don't care about these folks anymore. And the truth was, that's your big test. The big test is, do you still love? Mm. And the Lord is, why would God use you if you don't even love Him? You know what I'm saying? And you don't even have a knowledge of His love for you. Because how are you going to communicate the love of God to someone when you don't even know the love of God? Mm. And the love of God makes it past disputes. Yeah. It makes it well beyond opposition. It doesn't just, because you get opposition, you don't love anymore.
Right. It gets tested. God's love gets tested. I mean, so.
And how many marriages, going, that they a little dispute happening, a little opposition, and all of a sudden they just throw in the towel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How many, church swappers, that a little dispute, a little opposition, and all of a sudden you're bouncing around and you don't know it. The pastors, we know each other. And so you're going like, yeah. She's in mine now, right. Give her a week. Anyway, so in the context of that, it's like, it's because you got to hang in there. I mean, go where God's called you to relate, wherever that is.
No doubt.
And then just, get in there and just say, I'm here. I am connected. God, speak to me, plant me, root me. I'm ready to do what you're established here in the context of that. But the last one, you stay steadfast and don't give up with the well of dispute, the well of opposition. You keep digging and you get to that pure water where all of a sudden now God makes room for you. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, there is room for you. And He says, your gift will make room for you. And God establishes you in the context of that. And it makes me think of this because, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Abraham dug those wells. And then you had Isaac redig these wells. But isn't it interesting, the Samaritan woman, all these years later, thousands of years, think about it. All these years later, God is going to speak to us. And He's going to speak to us in His heart and how He's speaking to this Samaritan woman who is drawing water from where? She's drawing water from Jacob's well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus went all the way. And you're trying not to go, listen, Jesus went all the way back to Jacob because it's Him. That's right. The water. That's His spirit, I mean, how can you think about it? And so He goes all the way to the Samaritan woman who's drinking the water from their father's well. Mm-hmm. Jacob's well, and which is also Israel, when you think about it. And He says, but I can give you a stream. I can give you water. if you ask of me, I could give you water to drink that you'll never thirst again. It's all about wells. Yeah. Think about it. It's all about wells. Mm-hmm. But what if she wasn't by the wells of the fathers? Mm. I mean, there was other women around at other wells.
Sure.
There was other things going on, but she was at the father's well. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Imagine. And that's exciting when you think about it. And it's like, you know, he says, this is what he said about Elijah and Elisha. He says, if you're still with me, because there was a school going on. There was a school of prophets and, you know, people were learning, this is how you prophesy. That's not right. This is right. And, you know, and, but there was an Elijah and Elisha, relationship when they both were prophets. They abided with the Lord and they shared what God said. Mm-hmm. And so Elisha said, Elijah, he said, or vice versa, Elijah said to Elijah, he said, the younger one said, he said, Lord, I am like, why can't it be Bob and Steve? Anyway, so and you think about it. And so he said, you know, I want your mantle, you know, and he says, listen, if you're with me and you can imagine.
Elisha.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. The younger. Thank you. We appreciate that. And so he said, I want, you know, your mantle when he says, if you're with me, mm-hmm. he says, if you're with me, think about that. If you're with me,
if
you're with me when I go, mm-hmm. if you're with me, what does that mean? If you're related,
right.
if you're still connected, if you can put up with all the things that I'm having to go through to follow God and all the scars of dealing. He had to deal with Jezebel. Hmm. He had to deal with Baal, prophets of Baal. He had to call down fire and then run for his life. He had to go through depression. He had to go through cave experiences, you know, fire and earthquake and, you know, all these different things going on. He had to come out of that in the fathering aspect. He began to father Elisha. And he had to do these different things. And it's like, you can imagine how sad he was because we're just human. And you want so bad for God's folks to respond. He says, listen, choose who you're going to serve.
That's right.
And they're still struggling. They're still, you know, Jezebel's still in play. And it wasn't going to be his son, spiritual son, who was actually going to anoint Jehu, who was going to go deal with this. But he didn't get to see it in the context of that. And on earth, he didn't get to see it. And so because they stay related, because they stay connected. And understand this, when Elisha went to Elijah, and he said, here I am. I'm going to go with you. This is basically after you know, his spiritual father laid hands on him. He said, you know, what have I done to you? Go away from me.
Right.
And how many people, you know, when they hear this direct word from where God's called you to be, it's a firm word, and you get offended, and you walk away from your destiny. Mm. Get your feelings all hurt and stuff. And it's like, listen, I mean, think about it. This is a man, because he didn't get his feelings hurt, he was going to be part of the strategy of God that was going to deal with the ungodly leadership over Israel and decapitate all the heads of Ahab's sons that are there and restructure Israel again where it would serve God. And you have to understand, people want it to happen in their season in their life, but it's all connected. But if they wouldn't have connected, if Jehu wouldn't have connected to Elijah, if Elijah wouldn't have connected to Elijah, you know, this lineage, then Jezebel may still be there. Mm-hmm. And you think about that right now we have this strong, according to, I believe it was Chuck Pierce, the governmental lockup in the natural is because there's a governmental lockup in the church, and that God has to go into, the church needs to move into God's form of government. In other words, we either got to change our headships, or we got to, the headship has to change their viewpoints and
their hearts,
line up with God's form of government, which I believe is family. And then the earth government will change. And, you know, if my people who are called by my name will get their government right, then you don't have to worry about the government where you live. And so in the context of that lineage was so important. So you have Elijah that's working. He's doing his carpentry job. He's doing his electronic job. He's doing his computer job. He's doing his sales job. He was actually plowing a field. Elijah comes along and he throws his mantle over him, prays for him, and then walks on. Mm-hmm. And immediately he responded. Think about this. How many people missed the call of God because they didn't immediately respond? They wanted to think too much. I am so tired of thinkers. I mean, not intelligent. I love intelligent. I love listening to intelligent people talk because, you know, I'm not. So I can kind of get conversation. But I'm taking what God clearly says without any shadow of doubt. It's not complicated. And then taking it in your mind, your finite mind, and you don't even know how to work out calculus. You don't even know what a logarithm is, and you don't know how a computer works, and you haven't even read the manual on it. And you're trying to change what God is doing is just instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to follow you the way the disciples follow Jesus. And immediately he responded, and he took his job. He took his work. He took the plow, and he broke it up, and he burned it, and he just, you know, he just took off after God, what God was doing. And he stayed in right relationship with a spiritual father. And because of that, a double portion of what God was doing inside the river of God that was flowing through Elijah, a double portion of that river came into Elijah. So he did twice as many things for God in the context of it, miracles and this type of things, than what God was doing through Elijah. And Elijah, a spiritual father, would be going, that's great. Thank God. Especially if you go off in a chariot, which that's not going to happen again. And so, but then it was Elijah that ran in there suddenly and laid hands on the strategy of God. Think about it. Some people say, well, you know, we got to do this. We got to do this. No, God could have you run into a situation because you stay rightly related. Think about this. Because you stay rightly related, because you're carrying the mantle, because you are, you're abiding with God and you're hearing him. And all of a sudden, one day he says in your abiding time, listen, there's a man named Jehu. He's a general. He's going to be in this little cubbyhole over here in the city. I want you to run in there. I want you to lay hands on him. I want you to prophesy to him and tell him what's going on. And I want you to take off. And that's it. That was it. You always want, like, if you're Jehu, like, God, wouldn't it have been better if everybody heard that you're actually wanting me to do this thing, you know? And but nobody heard. No, it was just that. But Jehu, just like Elijah, took it and ran with it. And it was amazing how God anointed. Think about it. You're looking at a double of a double of a double, and Jehu comes in there with such a force and such wisdom. He knows not even get close to Jezebel. He knows how to throw a Baal party to bring everybody together to be able to deal with the prophets of Baal and the followers of Baal, and shifts. He has the guts to shift God's people back to God. You know, think about it. It's just an amazing thing. And but imagine all of that, because those are the wells of our fathers. That if we say, you know, we don't need to redig no wells. You know, what is Elijah talking about? You know, he had his day in the sun. You know, I'm Elijah. I don't need. First of all, it's like, is that how you treat human beings?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that how you treat? I've seen, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at government where the hub is, where we have the hub and we have the Dream Center. And there was two men. There was two men in that city. There in those hurricanes that came into the Escambia County, Pensacola area, one was the sheriff. His name was Ron McNesby. And the other was a county administrator, and his name was George Tuart. And he's just recently have left. He passed away. And these two men, Pat, the county commissioners told George Tuart, he says, they said, we're not even going to vote over nothing. You just take this thing, because everything was damaged. The hurricane came through. It was just destroyed. Chaos. It was amazing. Yeah. And Sheriff Ron McNesby and George Tuart single-handedly, by the grace of God, began to take the community, which was destroyed, and they began to just do what they do. And they led. You had authority. You had government. And those two came together and just began to just deal with things and spend the money you had to spend and do. They didn't have to go to the commissioners to be able to get votes, because they said, listen, just go with this thing. We got to come out of this thing. And so then that was huge. That was so huge. And before he passed, by the way, I got a chance to speak to him in December, and he passed in January, and he was on vacation with his wife, George, that I got a chance to tell him how thankful I was for what he did. He and Ron McNesby did in the community, because that was the community that I was in, that I'm in. And, but I've seen him dishonored. You know, you can move people from here and there, and you can do different things, but you still can honor someone. Yeah. I mean, even understand this, that even in the church, the Lord says, honor those amongst you and honor, you know, the older men and the older women as mothers and fathers, you know, and honor the women and the men as brothers and sisters. And I mean, imagine if it's just a natural family, how that moves your heart when you honor each other. And when we're four and we jump into dishonor, and that was a huge dishonor in the eyes of God. And it's almost, there's a struggle now going on in that particular, you know, county because it can't come out of it. And it's almost like, you know, a repentance has to happen. You know, we've dishonored those that had labored and had done so much for that community down there. Mm-hmm. And God's into honor. Mm-hmm. He is into honor. And understand, I can tell you your destiny if you tell me who you honor. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com. And I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey. Hello.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And I was and we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know, but seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful. You know, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for the list, Ian. Thank you.
Welcome to the Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits. He waits like a long time.
You forgot,
for
really? You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Ian's list.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me in this part of the program is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
We're so glad to be able to have you and what God's doing. I got some things I want to hear from. We want to hear what, you know, God is saying to you in the context of the third well. We're talking about redigging the wells and, you know, and God beginning to, in the same land, the same place, all of a sudden God begins to move. But What's interesting is God has been speaking to us about redigging the wells. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of ours and also a prophet, you know, Brett Holderbaum, who's in the high place, mm-hmm. thank God, of Colorado. At the same time, we're talking about redigging the wells, and God's been stirring on our heart about what's happening. God speaks a word, and he makes it a better. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this word right now. This is Brett Holderbaum speaking a prophetic word over the region that we're talking about.
This morning, I was just getting stirred in the spirit, and I heard the Lord say a couple of things, and I wanted to share them with you and the VFN family. The Lord says there's been some wells, and he said that the area that the hub operates, he said there's wells. And he says, you're digging up the wells, son. You're digging up the wells. The wells have been there. And he said, right now they were being held up by man and man's religion. And the Lord said, son, I've given you authority. I've given you authority over those wells. He said, you're going to go in and you're going to unplug those wells. And out of those wells will cause rivers to flow. And these rivers will flow. These rivers will flow upstream to a nation. We know that rivers flow downstream. But the Lord says, in my kingdom, these rivers will flow upstream. These rivers will touch a nation. And he said, the ones that go downstream, the ones that go to the Gulf, he said, those are going to affect the nations. So understand, son, that I've given you authority. And these wells will go, they will not only go downstream, but they'll go upstream. They'll affect a nation, and they'll affect this nation, and they will affect the nations. And so the authority that comes, the Lord says he's assembling an army. He's assembling the army. He said, son, I'm giving you authority over the city. I'm giving you authority over the region. I'm giving you authority over the nation. So know that it's coming, son. It's coming. He said, I've called you to be a father. He said, you're going to father many. You're going to father many. And out of your offspring will father many also. So know that this is just the beginning. The Lord says he's stirring, he's stirring, he's stirring. He's stirring a people up. He's stirring a people. People are dissatisfied. They're looking for the one true God. He said, you're going to connect them to the one true God. You're going to connect them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When God is, and that was so confirming, what's so interesting about God was going to stir a heart of a prophet, and in Colorado, and confirm, it's beautiful when it's almost like Jeremiah Johnson in the different areas confirming what God is doing. And to hear that, and we just thank you, Brett, for just obeying the Lord and responding to that. And it's encouraging because that's what we're talking about, is redigging the wells mm-hmm. and what God is doing. And when you think about the lighthouse prophecy and what God, through Bob Jones, God had released that word and confirmed it through Young E. Cho, confirmed it again through Paul Keith Davis, and Yolanda, who we'll talk about as well. But God's moving this prayer mountain, fire mountain, all that in the particular area. But it's 700 ministers. I mean, think about it. They can, I think, minister to 250,000 people at one time. Mm-hmm. 700 ministers who obviously understand we're the family of God and we're together in this. You know what I'm saying? And and it's amazing when... you see God just confirming. It's exciting. It's humbling and understanding. You know, we got to really pay close attention. And I think about all the wonderful ministers in the region, in the panhandle, who love God and who are laboring, and the ones that are even praying for a move of God and revival. And I can't wait, you know, that hopefully, you know, the Lord's going to allow us all to work together for what he wants to do in the land. And I know that Steve, you were happened to be, you know, of all the particular of communities that the mm-hmm. Lord has began to stir, you know, our heart with, and talked about planting or establishing the VFM Dream Center, was the Brownsville community, mm-hmm. To our amazement, because God did so much at a church at 3100 West of Soda Street with the Brownsville Revival and Outpouring, which Brother John Kilpatrick, a spiritual father of mine, mm-hmm. would just pastor that thing in such a powerful way, along with Steve Hill, who just had a memorial there at that place. And now it's being pastored by Pastor Evan Horton mm-hmm. is there. But you're walking in the community, and it was interesting. Tell us about this encounter that you had about the hunger, how people are crying out with Gail.
Yeah, there was a lady that we encountered over the weekend, mm-hmm. and she just began sharing just that journey that she even went through before God broke out in mm-hmm. In Brownsville in 1995.
Brownsville Assembly of God.
Correct, in mm-hmm. Brownsville Assembly of God. early before 1995 that she was praying and praying and just believing God to move, and God did. And since then, God has just been speaking to her, just begin to just believe God that he would move just as powerfully.
Right. Well, and she got discouraged, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she even said, she's like, God, I don't know if I have the faith for that. Mm-hmm. And God was just speaking to her and encouraging and encouraging her and just... Just being able to be in that moment and just share with her what God's been saying and how God brought us to Pensacola and say, believe me for greater things, believe me for greater things. She was just began to just be on fire and just be encouraged and just say, yes, yes, Lord. And right in the middle of the street and just believe in God to do it again.
And the thing I thought was pretty interesting about that was when God was directed her to go back to the fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Go back, remember the stories of the fathers of those that have gone before you.
Right.
And begin to redig the wells. Remember what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, in the first message is when God broke out in a powerful way at Brownsville Assembly of God on Father's Day 1995 was remembering the wonders of the Lord. And Steve Hill, the evangelist there, was rightly related and for quite some time with Brother John Kilpatrick. But he was focused and he studied again and again and just, you know, connected with what God had done and was believing God. And he could see God doing these things because he knows that it's been done before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he connected us to the context of if God did that, we can see an entire nation go after him. We can see, you know, entire schools just break out in revival. We could see government shift. We could see the glory of God. And there's a word we're going to have hopefully this week we're going to share with you that came out during that, talking about the time is short. It was delivered in an abiding time from the Lord to Steve. And I believe that that word is a now word talking about the coming of the Lord is near. It is, understand, prepare yourself and understand. But the greatest harvest that we've ever seen will happen before that takes place. And Bob Jones, the word of God was him, was you would see the beginning of a billion souls. And he's just gone recently to go be with the Lord. And so get ready for the biggest harvest you've ever seen, that the world has ever seen on the face of the earth.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Marietta, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.